Look in your Bibles to the book of Acts today, Acts chapter number 8, and a joy to be in the Lord's house and looking for all that God has for us here today, this morning, tonight, if He permits us to live and be here tonight, looking forward to what He'll give to us tonight, amen. And the Lord is good. He's a stronghold. He's a high tower. He's everything that you and I will ever need. We'll find it just in Him. And I praise Him and I thank Him for His goodness. Acts chapter 8, you're willing and able to stand this morning. I'm going to read just verse 36. Now, I have preached out of these verses, these latter part of this chapter, on a couple different occasions. And this is where the evangelist Philip has been sent by the Spirit down to the desert place in Gaza. And he comes upon the Ethiopian eunuch reading Isaiah 53, and he begins to preach to him Jesus, and the man is in the chair and asks what's him to be baptized, and Philip lets him know he's got to believe, got to be saved. He gets saved. Then Philip baptizes him, and they begin rejoicing. Then the Lord takes Philip on to another place. But I'm going to read just verse 36 today, and I'm interested in a word in this verse of Scripture. We'll read the verse and then we'll pray and try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. Acts chapter 8 and verse 36. The Bible says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for mercy. I thank you for grace. I thank you for each one that has gathered this way today. Lord, I thank you for the songs of Zion and how they have so ministered grace to our hearts and helped us. I pray now for just a few minutes, you give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. I pray you touch me by the Holy Ghost. Lord, I stand here needing you this morning. I desperately desire you to help us. I pray for that that's lost today. May the Holy Ghost convict them and draw them to yourself. Oh God, I pray you'd help us as your people. Lord, you know the need of every heart. Help us tonight, this morning, Lord, and may we glorify you and magnify, make much of your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen, you can be seated. I want to read the verse again, he said. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, I'm interested in the word this morning, this text. And that is the word hinder. The word hinder. Here, Philip preached to him Jesus. This man knows he needs this Savior. And as he come to this water, he's a wanting to know what's keeping me from being baptized like these other Christians have been. And Philip is very clear in letting him know that he first has to be saved. And let me just throw that out quickly in passing. Water cannot forgive sin, cannot wash away sin. There is no regenerative power in a baptistry, but it is an outward sign of what God has already done in the heart. Amen. But I got interested in that word hinder, for it does mean to prevent by word or by an act. It means to forbid or to keep from. It means to withhold a thing from someone or to deny. And he's saying, what's preventing me? What's holding me? And throughout this week, as we have been in meeting, and I thank the Lord for what he did in our hearts and in our midst in the days of the meeting this past week. And God has so stirred my heart, and I've seen him stir other hearts through the preaching of the Word of God. I said it the other week, there'll be more preaching services than there will be those testifying, shouted out services, because we need the preaching of the Word of God. We've heard messages from being distracted. We've heard messages about an Andrew ministry. We've heard preaching on the God of the second chance and about picking your battles and about why some are not saved and about the autopsy of a dead church. We've heard these messages and God has worked in our lives. And I began to pray about the service this morning. And I feel like the Lord just wants me to kind of draw that net in and bring you to a place that as God spoke to your heart and you've heard truth, that now it is time to put it into practice and let it change and let it help you. Oh, did you see, for some this morning, there's something that's hindering from you being able to get in it like you should, amen. Hey, we find that this man, this Ethiopian, said there's something hindering. What is that that's hindering me? You realize today as we're here that we have a choice each service about getting in, or we let something hinder us from getting in. Amen. Hey, I don't want anything to hinder me in the things of God. I don't want nothing to hold me back. I want to get all those things broken off and cut away that I might worship Him and do His will for my life. Oh, today I've thought about this, and I'll look at two things. I'm not going to preach long, but I want to bring us to that place where we have to be honest and have to do something about some things. Can I say, first of all, what's hindering you from getting saved? There's some here, some been here, other services of the revival, some first-time visitors, but in a reality, you know in your heart that you're not saved. Others are saved that are visiting, but there's some here today, from young people to middle age, could even be a senior citizen here that doesn't know Christ as Savior. You've not got your sin forgiven, and there's something that is holding you back from getting saved by the grace of God. Now I want to say this, there is nothing greater than getting saved. You talk about peace and you talk about joy. Oh, to get born again. Oh, to have that guilt taken away. Have that load of sin lifted and forgiven and forgotten. Oh, the blessing of being a child of God today. Hey, I promise you this, I've never been sorry about getting saved. And I really believe I never will be sorry about getting saved. Hey, though it's been 37 years, I can say with an honest heart, it's more exciting, I'm more thrilled, I'm more glad to be forgiven than I was the first night when I got born again. Well, yeah, some of you here, God's been a dealing with you. But there's something hindering you from getting saved. Hey, can I say this to you this morning? There is no one worth going to hell over. Because some of you here today, you get saved, but you're kind of worried what your family may think or your family may say if you truly get saved. Hey, I'm telling you, that family member is not worth your soul being lost forever and ever. Hey, I'm telling you, nobody is worth going to hell over. Amen. Don't let your family keep you from getting saved. Oh, no. Matter of fact, your family needs you to get saved so they have somebody that'll be a witness and an example for them that Christ had dealt with, and they'd get saved. Amen. Hey, don't let your family. Hey, don't let your friends. Hey, a lot of folk today worry so much about what their friends think about everything. Amen. Some people today can't do anything without getting up with their friends and getting their opinion, their input. I'll tell you, when it comes to your soul, my friend, it doesn't matter what they think or say. You must be born again according to Scripture. And friend, I wouldn't let anybody else around me keep me from getting saved. Oh, it could be someone you consider a foe. Somebody that seemingly is an enemy to you, I wouldn't let them keep me from getting saved either. And I'll throw in with that foe business, I wouldn't let the devil keep me from getting saved. He'll do everything he can to talk you out of it. He'll talk about how you're going to make a fool out of yourself. Going up there in the front of that church and, oh, you'll not have anybody. And everybody will leave. I want to tell you something. When I got saved, it put me in a brand new family. Hey, when I got saved, it gave me some new friends. Hey, old things passed away. I behold, all things became new. Hey, I'm telling you today, there's nobody that's worth going to hell over today. Oh, don't let anyone, and let me say this also, not only no one's worth going to hell over, but nothing is worth going to hell over. Amen. All the possessions, all that this world has is not worth going to hell over. I think about a verse where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 26, he said this, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Hey, if you get everything this world's got and you stay lost and you wind up in the lake of fire, what good was all that stuff? Amen. Hey, your possessions aren't worth it. Amen. Your pride most definitely is not worth it. I thought this morning afresh, the Spirit of God reminded me, there's a lot of scriptures that deal with the sin of pride in the Bible. And pride is a sin. And I wouldn't let my pride keep me from getting saved. Amen. Hey, we've got folk here in the church family that were church members. They were religious even before they got saved. And I guarantee you, all of them will tell you one thing that kept them from coming forward sooner. It was their pride. It was that inside saying, what are they all going to think? Well, let me say it like this. It doesn't matter what they think. Amen. What's important is that your soul has been washed in the blood, that your name is in God's blood. That's what matters today. Oh, friend, but the position and popularity of this day. Man, it's amazing to me. It is amazing to me in our country how everybody wants about 15 minutes of fame on television. It really does. It blows me away. Why in the world would I want to get on a talk show and air out all my family problems? I don't understand. That don't even make common sense to me. Amen. Are you hearing me? I mean, and didn't it want to be some kind of star, win some kind of contest? And oh, just for a few minutes of fame, even in the sports world. Listen to me. I watch college football. I like some other sports. But I'll tell you something, it ain't got a hold of me. Amen. And I want to say for these young folks' sake in particular, if you can play sports, that's great. But understand this, that's going to pass away. Hey, you can become the best of the best. You can win every trophy, every kind of award that they can come up with. But I'm telling you, that'll pass away. Hey, somebody will beat your record. Amen. Somebody will get more wins than you ever got. It'll happen. And you'll be left in the dust. You'll just be in a little old book that they might come up with a question and win a little prize on a TV show or a radio show. But I'm telling you, by and large, you'll be forgotten. Why would we want to go after everything this world's got when one day it'll burn up with a fervent heat? It's going to pass away. So I'm asking you this morning, what is it that is hindering you from getting saved? The Bible said there in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, for he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted in the day of salvation. Have a certainty, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Bible said in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What are you letting keep you in that unsaved condition? Why would you not get born again? Oh, friend, today we see that question to the lost. What's hindering you from getting saved? But then let me say secondly, and I'm going on. I'm not going to spend much time. But hear me this morning. Secondly this morning, what's hindering you from serving? What is it as a Christian? You know you're saved. You know your name's written in His book. You know heaven's your home, but you're just not really in it like you ought to be in serving God. What is it that's holding you back? What is it that's preventing you from really selling out to God, really giving everything to Him? What is it that's hindering you today? Because I'm going to say again, the preaching this week has been powerful. It's been that heart-working stuff. And that's kind of I like. I'm emotional in my worship, and I love to shout and rejoice. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm more interested in our lives being changed than I am about us feeling warm and fuzzy and joyous and all. I'm more interested. And by the way, let me just say this. God is more interested in your holiness than He is your happiness. Did you hear what I said? God is more interested in your holiness than He is your happiness. But I can say this too. If you get born again and you give the Lord your life, you serve Him, you put Him first, I can promise you this, you will be happy. Amen. Now, the most miserable person in the world is a Christian that's not serving God. They're miserable. That's right. That's why some folk don't know much about church, why some of them wonder about salvation, because there's some Christians who they look like they're sad and disturbed. And with a lot of them, what it is, they've just not been serving God. And there's not much joy in living for self. Amen. I'm being honest there. There's not much joy in living for self. Now, you can serve self and get a thrill here and there, but there's no lasting joy in living for self. Amen. Oh, friend, joy comes from serving Jesus. Amen. Oh, we see that some are being hindered. What is it that's hindering you? Now, I believe this. I believe it's either a who or a what that's hindering you from serving God. I got to think about that. Who could it be? Well, the Bible said this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. The Bible said, you did run well. In other words, you're right. You've been doing right. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now, sometimes as a Christian, if we're not careful, we're still affected by those around us. Amen. If we're not real careful, we can let our friends or family get in the way. Someone could be in our life that we're allowing them to hinder us from fully serving God. Amen. Now, all of us are affected by people around us to an extent. Whether folk won't admit it or not, we are all affected by people around us. Amen. He said, you did run well. Who did him? Hey, that who might not just be someone else. It could be yourself. Could be just your old self. Amen. I'll never forget this as a young Christian. Man, God saved me at the age of 10. And in those early teen years, man, I began to think too much about those around me. And I began thinking too much on myself and wasn't serving God like I should. And the Holy Spirit dealing my heart and reminding me I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own anymore. He kept dealing my heart about that over and over again. And I can promise you that when I finally said, Lord, it doesn't matter what others may say. It doesn't matter what my flesh may want, but I'm interested in really serving you from the depths of my heart. Can I tell you, it changed my Christian life. That's when I really got in serving God, when I finally said, I'm saying no to self, and I'm saying no to others around me, and Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Amen. Who could it be? Hey, maybe it's a what in your life. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, we find this man Demas. The Bible said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. something in the world got too much of this man Demas's heart and his desires and his mind. Now understand this, and I want you really hear me here. According to the book of Philemon and verse 24, Demas is called a fellow laborer. So we know Demas was saved. We know Demas knew God. But something in the world got such a hold on him that he just quit serving God like he ought to be serving him. It doesn't mean Demas got in grotesque sin. Are you hearing me? For most people in the church world, as long as they don't smoke, cuss, drink, lie, and those type of things, but listen to me, failure just to do what God wants you to do, that's just as much a sin as all those other things. Amen. Hey, what is it that you have allowed in your heart that is hindering you from serving God? I want to close with this morning. I thought about some verses that I really want to leave you with. Now, for that child, for that one that is not saved, the one that's not saved, he said, what's it going to profit if you gain everything, lose your soul? Well, let me close talking to you that are saved a second. Elijah said this in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. The Bible said, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. He said, how long are you going to halt between the two opinions? How long are you going to sit here idle instead of making a choice? Well, here's what Joshua said. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14 and 15. The Bible said this, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, I choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, he said, you got to make that choice. You need to make up your mind. Here's what Jesus said, and I close with this. Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. And listen to what he's saying. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And by the way, when he said no man, that means everybody. There is no exception to that rule. You can't try to serve self and the world and serve the Lord at the same time. That's why you feel like you're getting pulled apart, because you are. You're the middle of a rope that's getting pulled in both directions, and you feel like you're about to be torn. That's what's going on. What you need to do is say no to self, no to all this other, and say, Lord, whatever you want. Make up your mind, choose. And again, listen, this is what the Spirit of God put on my heart Friday. I've been praying for days what God wanted me to preach this morning. And right here's where we're at. Because you know, listen, God's been moving us forward, and that'll stall. That'll stop. If we let anything get in the way, we got to keep everything cleared out of the way and keep going forward continually. That's what we need to do today. Friend, if you're not saved, why not now? God's Spirit, deal with your heart this morning. Won't you run to him and be saved? Those that are saved, would you dedicate your life each and every day to serving Christ and not serving self or serving this world, but serve Christ? You'll never be sorry about doing that. I can promise you that. Father, I pray now you take this message. Lord, use it for your honor, your glory. I've tried my best to preach what you gave me. Lord, I know that your word will never return void. Regardless of what go on here in the next few moments, Lord, your word will find its resting place in the hearts and lives of the listener. Help us this morning. Lord, I pray for that and it's lost. I pray the Spirit of God would deal with their heart and help them to run to you and be saved. Lord, I pray for your people, Lord, that may be torn. Maybe they're still in that place. They know they're saved. They know they ought to be serving, but they're not. But Lord, may this be the morning they just really say, God, here I am, every bit of me. Take me and use me for your glory. May that be today. Help now in the invitation, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just a moment. I've tried my best to preach what the Lord put on my heart on this Sunday morning. There's folk here, some saved, some lost. But if you're not born again this morning, I urge you to come to Christ. Be saved today. Don't let anything or anyone hinder you. Child of God, don't let anything get you. God's been stirring your heart, been helping you these last days of the meeting. Don't let anything hinder you. I want us to stand. This altar's open while we sing. Nobody says it come. It's still all right. Preach what God told me to. If you're not saved, love, take a Bible. Show you how to be saved. If you're a child of God, just need to pray. Burdened about something, come in here with a heavy load. I'm glad to tell you the altar's open. God can help you if you'll come while we sing.